B-Pod Studios.
It starts now.
Get excited!
All right, let's get right to it.
No good morning?
No good morning, because it's not a good morning. I am so livid. This is the Midday Show. It's Jason Mertedis. I'm Anthony Gargano. We got game two tonight after a disgraceful performance in game one. That game was a disgrace on many, many, many levels. And it begins with the hands of Brett. You know, go on, root for the guy, on and on and on, nice guy. That was a pathetic effort. His team had no life. His team was listless. His team continued to play dumb. He continued to run the same nonsense and the same ridiculous dribble handoffs to J.J. Redick to continue. He didn't switch up at all. He continued to run that offense, which doesn't fit his personnel. It doesn't fit his personnel. When is he going to realize that you got to go in with an offensive clue? When are you going to realize that you got certain pieces? That if Simmons is useless up top, useless, all right? If you're not going to drive to the basket and you're not going to attack the rim, then he's going to be down low to post up. You got nobody to match up down low with the Nets. Nobody. There's nobody that can guard them down low. And so you had the kid where you know he can't shoot. He's not going to develop a shot in 3 days, all right? You know he can't shoot right. He's unwilling to take that 10-foot shot. Unwilling to take the 15-foot. Unwilling to take the 18-footer. So if you know that, you have trouble running an offense, then you can run the offense from the freaking low block. You set the kid down low, and you run it through him there. You have Jimmy on the wing. There's things that you have to do as a coach to get them out. There's no excuse about there's no bench. It was a tactical mess, coupled by a team that played like they already won the series.
Well, one guy came with his heart, and that was Jimmy Butler. One guy, and you're absolutely right. You talk about this, Ant. In the playoffs, the game is different, which means you know that the other team's going to try and force you into your weaknesses. They are scouting you hard. They're going to find a way to do it. And Brett let them do it.
I gotta tell you,
some great performance by the Nets, or coaching performance.
I'm stunned. I'm actually stunned by how bad they looked in game one.
Yeah, it was horrific.
I'm stunned. I'm stunned that he had nothing.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing in practice? That's just outrageous. It was outrageous to see.
It was malpractice.
I can't believe that he came in with no plan, with the same exact nonsense. Like, it's the playoffs, dude. What did you do for 10 years sitting next to Popovich, other than rebound for Kawhi Leonard, when he wanted to take extra shots? What did you do? How could you come in like this with your pants down?
Yeah, you would think you would have learned something just from, you know, being there, from osmosis, to be able to pick up something.
It's stunning.
Yeah,
it's really stunning to me that you go into this series with utter cluelessness. I mean, what are you going to learn? First of all, we know against D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie that he's a defensive liability. All right. Like, I understand that. I know that you're missing, God forbid, you're missing Ennis. I mean, what, are we serious?
Yeah.
You're going to make that excuse for the Nets? They got nobody to guard. You know who's the defensive liability on the Nets? Everybody except Dinwiddie and Russell.
Yeah.
How about that?
Attack that area.
Who do you think Joe Harris is guarding? Joe Harris. Bob Cooney would school Joe Harris.
Yeah, Bob would drop 18.
I mean, what, are you serious with this? That whole game plan, whatever that was, I am stunned about how bad that whole thing was. That was a disgrace from top to bottom.
Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. I totally agree with you. I think there's a systemic issue here. And I think it's the fact that Brett Brown's going to coddle him and nurture him. This whole environment, which was necessary during the 10-win seasons in the process. But that time is over. It is time to be F. Lee Ermey in Full Metal Jacket. You know what I mean? And you got to control Joel Embiid, and you have to be harder on him. They've coddled him to let him dictate everything. And Ben is not being coached, or he's not receiving coaching, because they're not doing the necessary things to put themselves in. He should have been on that block at the beginning of that game to make him affect the game right away, because you know he's not going to deliver from the outside. Instead, we're doing these dribble handoffs to J.J. Redick again. Like, what is going on?
I got to tell you, I can't believe they went out with A, that kind of effort, and B, that plan, that strategy. That's outrageous to go out with that strategy. It really is. I mean, think about this for a second, okay? Think about what he likes to play. And what he likes to play is pace and shoot threes. Well, what team do you have? What's your team? All right? What's your team that you have?
Do your weapons fit the scheme?
You don't have three-point shooters. So stick your analytics on the shelf and figure out a plan that works. And here's the thing. For all you people, and I'm telling you right now, for all you people and that go, oh, what's on the players? BS. All right? The players are one thing, and they got to get lit up, except for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
All right? So Ben's got to grow, and he's got to grow to bleep up, and he's got to attack the rim. All right? And Joe's got to stop acting like a spoiled brat, and Tobias has to go get his bravery. All right?
He's got to find some
heart. Talk about seeing a wizard. Yeah. All right? That's all true. That's all true. But it begins with the coach, because if the players come out not ready to play, I blame one guy. It's the guy at the front of the bench. And if the players come out without a clue on how to win and how to attack, I blame it on the coach. The first thing is about strategy.
Yeah, he's the foreman. And nobody was put in a position to succeed. They came out not ready to play, not ready to perform. I was afraid they couldn't flip the switch because they were really spotty down the stretch, and they were playing meaningless games. We all understand that.
It's not about flipping switches. This is about going at it from a strategic element.
Yeah.
This is about strategy.
Yeah, and guys weren't ready.
That's what the playoffs are.
Yeah.
That's what they are. I want you guys, when we have this discussion today, I want you to think about it from an X and O standpoint. That's how I want you to think about I want you to look at the Nets and understand what the Nets are, right? Obviously guard laden. Obviously 3-point shooting. Obviously not good defensively. They don't have a stout front court. I want you to think about exactly who the Nets are, who the Sixers are, and how you're supposed to attack them. Why in the world are you running running every friggin' set for J.J. Redick? Seriously.
Yeah, look, if people want to complain about Jimmy Butler going after the coach in a meeting that we heard about earlier, or shaking his head, it's a play he drew up. No, no, no. Jimmy, start coaching. You got to be a coach on the floor, because what the coach is designing is not good enough. Now I understand why Jimmy's shaking his head when he looks at the whiteboard. So, like, seriously, dude, that's what you drew up for this situation?
Now, the other thing is, too, is that the two futures of this whole team, they need attitude adjustments.
Big time.
And like right away. All right? Because I said
reasons.
My piece about
yep.
Brown. We'll talk about him. But, Brett, let's talk about Ben Simmons. How many times are we going to have this same conversation? How many times are you going to be embarrassed? Like, you're embarrassed. You got out there. They sag on you. Okay. Forget about the fact that you don't want to shoot it. Take the ball to the rim.
Show some aggressiveness.
And if the coach doesn't want to post you up, then take it on yourself to post up. Because there's nobody down low that can stop them.
Yeah.
So you got to understand who you are. You haven't accomplished anything in this league.
Now, he's got a ton of skill, and he's got a lot of developing to do. But he also needs a little bit of. Wizard of Oz, Yellow Brick Road as well.
You need an attitude adjustment.
Yep.
And I love the big man to death. But yo, dude, you got to play within the offense, and you know you can't be this. Sometimes he's a spoiled kid. He's act like a spoiled kid. Come on, man. And the only thing I agreed with Brett Brown from Saturday was Jimmy was the only adult That's it.
It's a great line, and it's true. He's the only guy that was there mentally prepared to play.
Jimmy Butler
and brought it to the court.
Was the only guy. He was the only man.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He's the only man. How many times did we say last week, playoffs are for men? And Jimmy Butler was the only man who showed up.
Yeah. It was a lot of boys on that court that need an attitude adjustment, and they need it now.
Well, that's right.
Right now.
Because it's one thing, you get beat in game one. It's a long series.
Yeah.
All right, you come back, you take care of business.
You better take care of it. And Ben better have a big game tonight. And that's based on the comments that he said after the game as well, which was completely idiotic.
The appropriate answer is yes, we deserve to get booed tonight.
We got
to
play better. Just leave it there.
You know, I don't understand. This whole pride thing with him is a problem.
Yeah.
Because that's why he loves to shoot.
It's one of the seven deadly sins.
It's why he loves to shoot.
He's afraid to be embarrassed.
It's why he loves to shoot.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You need some humility, because... You need to be humility in your life.
Unbelievable. I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I've been seething since Saturday.
Yeah.
I've been angry since Saturday.
Well, it's time for some therapy.
I've been angry since Saturday.
Yeah. Because you still can't believe it.
I can't believe.
Because it's 101 stuff.
How poorly they came out.
Prepared.
How ill-prepared they came out. I mean, seriously. They should be ashamed. Like, if I was Brett Brown, I'd be embarrassed today.
And he should have said that.
He should have.
Yeah.
Instead of looking around, they all want to look for excuses. The bench. Bleep the bench. You know what? The bench is an excuse when it comes to Toronto, not the Nets. You go down to the Nets, you push the detonate button.
610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez. We'll check in with our jury members today. Boy, that was an exhibit of evidence that was put on display on Saturday. And it didn't do any good to Brett Brown. Got to tell you about Window Nation, because their annual spring cleaning sales event, it's underway. And are your windows having issues, cracks hard to open, unusual moisture, or are you just window shopping? If so, you call Window Nation today and schedule a free in-home estimate. Window Nation will save you 50% off all style of windows. Get upfront pricing, no hidden terms. Again, that's 50% off every style of window. Plus, for the next 2 weeks, you can save even more with 0% interest for 5 full years on your entire purchase. 0% interest until 2024. So get a jump on your spring cleanup and call Window Nation, where every window is installed by factory-trained professionals and guaranteed to be done right the first time. And every window is backed by a company with an A+ Better Business Bureau ranking and over 10,000 positive online reviews. Now, there are many reasons Window Nation has installed over 475,000 windows in more than 80,000 homes. But you got to hurry. These off-season savings are not going to last long. 50% off and 0% financing for 5 years. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. And when you do, tell them Jason sent you. O'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. When you're searching for windows, search windownation.com.
I goofed.
I got something for you.
I've been seething since Saturday, dude. I know seething since Saturday.
You're like one of those fire-breathing dragons on Game of Thrones, which I did not watch, but I got something for you.
What?
So I want to play Ben's comments after the game, which we've all heard, but I just want to play him because he has a retraction.
Oh.
Okay, so here's Ben after the game, what he had said about the fans booing.
I mean, if you're going to boo, then stay on that side. So I feel if you're a Sixth fan, you're going to boo, stay on that side.
All right. So saying if you're going to boo, then you shouldn't boo.
Which was the act of petulance and the act and the words of a baby.
Yes. And we know what Jimmy Butler said after the game. We know what Embiid, they understood the boo. So Ben was asked about it again after the game. That was his reaction. Here's his now pseudo retraction. He said, this is Ben Simmons, it's Philly. That's what's going to happen. I love it. That's how Philly is. If you can't play here, you can't. They're going to give you S. They talk S. It is what it is. If you're not playing well, they're going to let you know. But I love being here. I love the fans here. I wouldn't want to be in a place where they didn't really care or only showed up when times are going well. A few years ago, we were winning 10 games.
Well, that's good. And
it's the right thing to say.
Yeah, I'm happy he retracted it, because that is good. Actually, you want to hear it right from him?
Yeah, let's hear from the... I did not know you had this. I'm sorry, yeah. Andrew. Go ahead. Yeah.
It's Philly. That's what's going to happen.
How much has that gotten back to you, and give any reaction from the reaction?
I mean, I love it. That's how Philly is. Yeah, you can't play, you can't. We're going to give you the... We talk... It is what it is. You're not playing well, we're going to let you know, but... I mean, I love being here. I love the fans here. I wouldn't want to be in...
place where they didn't really care or at least showed up when times were going well. So, a few years ago, we won the 10 games.
All right. I like that. Now that, you know, that's good. That's good. But, you know, it's not about words now.
Yeah. All right. And look, a lot of people are just mad after the game. Whatever. But that's not the point. You're right.
Whatever. I you know, quite frankly,
systemic is the
that's
problem.
Eyewash to me, right? Mm-hmm. Like what the guys say after games. Yeah. I don't really care. What I care about is playing on the floor. That's what I care about. Yeah. I care about they need to go in with a complete idea of what to do.
Yeah, that was a strategic abomination on Saturday. On all levels, except for one man. And they need to fall in line behind Jimmy Butler.
At some point, and it's not for today, because today is we got to figure out what was wrong and then dive into what has to change. But at some point, we got to talk about this idea of hating the alpha.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I don't get it at all. I don't understand why people would fly to Minnesota and cheer Robert Covington and
Dario.
I mean,
and you love Dario.
I do. That's great. It's fine. Yeah. Like, I that's cool if you're just doing it to do that. But why is it anti-Butler? Why is it bad to be an alpha male
and aggressive?
Like, why is that bad?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why? It's sports. Like,
that's what you want.
I don't know. I mean, why is that a bad thing in sports to be aggressive?
I don't think it's a bad thing in all of sports. I think some sports are different. Bryce Harper is an alpha. It's great.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's this weird
Carson.
There's this weird. Look, look what happened.
Yeah,
people got
their feelings hurt.
They wrote a story about how he's not a great teammate because he was too harsh.
Aaron Rodgers. You've seen this, all that stuff that's coming out in Green Bay.
But I'm like, what happened to...
People's feelings got soft, Anthony. Society-wise.
But it's not even about soft. Like, I don't view it like soft or tough guy or none of that stuff. But, like, when you're a competitor, when you're a guy that just wants to win and you're aggressive, like, aggression. When did aggression become bad in sports?
Yeah, imagine if Michael Jordan were playing nowadays, his desire to win, he was willing to do.
People would hate him.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't get it.
He'd be viewed as a villain. Like, Butler's viewed as a villain.
And I don't understand
it. I don't get it either.
I mean, that's the guy you want.
I want like, that guy on my team. I want 10 of them.
Like, we joke about the wall, right? You know, Jessup.
Yeah.
But...
You need me on that. Yeah, you need Butler on that court.
But it's true.
Give me four more Butlers on the court.
It's true. What happened that's a bad thing? Why don't you like that?
I don't understand it either. I don't get it.
Somebody needs to explain it to me at some point. I really don't understand it. I try to look at the other side. I try to understand both sides of an argument. We were just talking about with bro. Bro, get in here, man. We're just talking about with
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I don't get it either. It makes no sense to me.
And I don't understand for the life of me why aggression is bad.
Yeah, why that's viewed as a negative and not a huge. I look at it as a total polar opposite.
Positive. This week, how many times did I say, you got to sign Jimmy Butler? You got to sign Jimmy Butler. He's the linchpin for this thing.
He's your man.
And what, you always have a good read on this stuff. What is it that people don't like about aggressive players?
It's 2019. Everything is...
It's a societal problem, I agree.
Yeah, it's bigger than basketball.
Can't yell at your kids anymore.
Yeah, like, it really is. It's a you know, sports is a reflection of culture, and culture is a reflection of sports and all that. You know, Jimmy Butler's viewed as like this demigod that, like, just because he screams at some teammates to make them and want them to be better, he's like this pariah. And that's like the reputation that stays with him, and it's bizarre.
Why, yeah, I don't understand why that's why is that a bad thing? Why is being aggressive or showing aggression and wanting to win and being honest and scolding? I'm not saying. He's not getting physical.
Because people go on Instagram and unfollow their team now as opposed to manning up and having a one-on-one conversation as a team leader with somebody in the locker room. Like, LeBron kind of set the tone for this in the NBA. Kevin Durant follows it with his burner accounts. Instead of going up to Steph Curry in the locker room and going, yo, dude, like, come on, man. We got a problem here. Let's talk it out. He'll go and, like, unfollow Steph Curry on Instagram.
It's passive aggressive is in now.
Yes.
Not aggressive.
Yeah. It's,
aggressive used to be the in thing and being a killer on the floor. Now it's passive aggressive.
Yeah, it really is. And social media changed so much.
McNabb would have been great in this generation.
Oh, my God. McNabb would have, oh, he would have been in quicksand his entire career. He couldn't have handled it.
I feel like I'm in the...
You're Mars.
I'm in the netherworld.
I mean, just think about how much our country has changed the last, like, 2-3 years, just in terms of all this stuff.
Hey, listen, and I'm not saying it's all for the bad. I mean...
No, a lot of it's for the good.
You know, I'm a fan of civility. I think it's...
I never pegged you as a fan of civility, guy.
I think civility is a good thing.
I'm a fan of civility.
But you're also an old school guy.
Yeah, but that's the point. The point is...
Well, we got into this.
Some schools never need to change.
Sports.
Though.
Yeah. Aaron McKee last week was in. He popped in with us, new coach. And Trey asked him, like, can you be hard on kids today like Chaney was to you? And he basically was straight up like, no, I can't.
Yeah, but I'm not saying you need to be... You need to scold all the time, right? I'm not even saying that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to be a tough guy or a hard guy.
No, but there is that aspect of driving somebody. If you know the person well enough, you can drive them to be better.
And Chaney wasn't a hard guy. He was a guy that held everybody accountable.
But would
there's a lack of accountability.
Would John Chaney survive today in today's NCAA?
No, because it would be looked at as abusive.
No, because as soon as his first four-star
what
recruit...
With Izzo.
Yeah, like as soon as that first four-star recruit gets a little upset because John was
transferred. Yep.
You know what I mean? That's just okay. What it is.
But we're not even talking about Brett.
No.
We're talking about a player.
There's a stigma with Jimmy that a lot of fans don't like. And they need to get over it.
They're afraid of Jimmy.
But what is it? Like, that's what I don't understand. Why would you fly to Minnesota and cheer Robert Covington? All due respect, if you like Robert Covington, that's great.
You know what
cool.
I was thinking Saturday night? If we had Robert Covington in place of Jimmy Butler on Saturday, they lose that game by 35 to 40 points. Yeah. And they are embarrassed on the national stage.
Didn't people watch the series last year?
Where Robert Covington was fouling on purpose to get taken out of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Where?
When he was literally hitting the backboard and not even the rim on three-point shots?
Brett Brown
couldn't
even play him.
Yeah.
You had to take him out of the game.
Brett Brown couldn't even play him.
So I don't know why.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's bizarre to me. The only thing I can come up with is the cultural kind of shift in our country. And we're frankly pretty soft. Like Ben Simmons crying about the boo.
Some things are evolution. Some things are part of this evolution are not positive. To me, in sports, I want guys like Jimmy Butler.
Well,
I want
life, like achieve.
I want 14 Jimmy Butlers on my team.
Yeah, give me that all day.
You want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the workplace is, and I'm not saying you cross the line or whatever, but you're in a work. If you're in a competitive environment.
Mm-hmm. Which we are.
Remember,
like, one of the first days? You were teaching me a lesson. I didn't know it at the time. I kind of wanted to have a fist fight with you. But I swallowed my pride. I went back and I fixed the problem. And I came back and I said, here you go. It's fixed. Could you imagine doing that to a kid out of college today?
No, they'd probably quit. I wouldn't do it to them.
But look at how... That's only 10 years ago.
Right. I did it to you because...
Because you thought I could handle it.
Yeah. I loved you. So I was like... I figured...
Well, Jimmy Butler needs to go find the men in that locker room who can handle it and say, let's go. It's go time. We don't have any more time.
I mean, how many times did I scream at you over the years?
Oh, a ton. But I know it's out of love, and I know where it's coming from, and I know it's trying to make me a better producer.
Right. But that's how we... Because why? Because we cared about it.
Yeah.
We can't. Yeah. We wanted to do a
Here's
good
the
show.
Deal. They plug in a scoreboard for a reason. They keep score. The name of the game is to have more points than the other team. It's real simple. And whatever you got to do it, get it done. And they didn't. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah.
610-632. Good stuff.
Brett has to come with a plan tonight.
Tonight is 100% on his shoulders.
With a plan. He had no plan. It's the same dribble handoff.
I have two obvious changes I would have made, and then I have one drastic one.
What do you got?
Jimmy Butler is the point guard.
Yeah.
Zaire Smith is getting... If I see Jonathan Simmons check into the game tonight, I'm checking out of the game.
What? He was a minus...
16 or something in 19, like 6 seconds.
He, It was
Zaire Smith needs to get run because you have no guards that can give you some dog on the perimeter.
He was minus 16 in 11 minutes.
Why don't you see that? Have foresight. And
I guess you trust the vet there. I mean, in Brett's defense, Zaire's only played, what, 6 to 8 games down the stretch, something like that?
You got to play more.
I know, but you know coaches are going to trust the vet there at first.
Yeah, well, that didn't work.
You got to understand who you have.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
But he's had four, in his defense, he's had like 3 or 4 different teams this year. It's kind of insane.
You know what? I got no rope for him anymore. I got no rope.
Look, he's coaching for his job tonight.
I got no rope. Because here's the thing. He had no plan. You know what the Nets are. And if, who's, let me ask you a question. Who's Joe Harris? Who's he going to guard?
Him and JJ should cancel each other out.
And by the way,
Joe Harris 47% from three this year. Right, oh my God!
Right, no,
that's insane.
He can shoot it. He can't defend you.
No,
in the low block.
Because the other team dictates matchup easily on our defense.
Who's any good defensively on that team? It's not D'Angelo Russell.
No.
Who's any good defensively? Who could stop Simmons in a low post in a post up situation?
Doesn't exist.
Let alone Embiid.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't exist.
They need to dictate their mismatches instead of dealing with the other
teams. We talk about not defending the pick and roll. What are you, nuts? They got to go out and they got to run this team. Run them off the court.
Yeah, they can't defend a pick and roll, though. It's bad.
It is bad. But that, first of all, that is 101. NBA, it's basketball 101.
But that tells me...
Help! Switch!
There's no way that Brett Brown has been coaching basketball for 40, 45 years, whatever it is, and doesn't know how to defend a pick and roll. That, to me, is a roster construction problem. They don't have guys that can do it. You have 2 point guards that can't take a guy off of a dribble and hit a jump shot. Think about that. On both units, you don't have a single point guard that can do that. How is that possible? How?
It's unbelievable.
How?
It is. It's unbelievable. But here's what he can do, which he doesn't do. If you sag on me, you're giving me leverage. And that means I can drive.
No, he has to be Giannis.
Like, right?
And I know Giannis is in your five.
How many times have we said, Jason, how many times have I said he's got to look at Giannis and he's got to become Giannis? At least go to the basket.
Giannis, send the guy the links to watch the tape.
Giannis has 78% of his baskets, of his field goals, from within 2 feet of the rim.
Yeah, because he drives
that
to the net.
Is the game plan for Ben Simmons.
Yep.
You don't have a jumper, so score all your baskets around the rim. Finn.
You know what? And all Brett wants to do is shoot threes because the analytics say so.
I don't know if it's analytics so much as it's the league. Everybody guns and chucks.
He has talked about analytics and his pace
a million times. He's beholden to
it. How many times? Do you remember? You'll remember because it was me and you. Well, he was on one day. This is before they were ever even in the playoffs. And he and I are having a conversation about what playoff basketball is. And I go, yeah,
it should slow down.
It becomes a half-court game in the playoffs because every possession is defended. Do you remember?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
And he says, well, no, I still believe we can get off, we can run out. All he wants to do is have a bunch of Euros shooting threes. That's it. That's his whole
slight problem.
That's his whole problem.
He doesn't have any Euros that can shoot threes.
That's what he wants.
He doesn't have the players that complement
the
system he wants.
Yeah. You know what? Go back to rebounding for Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the phones.
See you guys.
Ramon in Mount Airy, member of the jury, starts us off. What's up, Ramon?
Yo, what's going on, brothers? I was waiting for this day, man. I'm good, though. How you fellas doing?
I know horrible,
yeah,
Ramon.
But check this out. Cuz, I feel you on what you were talking about. I just retired from the military in November 2018.
Thank you for your service, Ramon.
Appreciate that. You're welcome. You're very welcome. In the military and boot camps, and this is alluding to what you're getting at, you have soldiers who has put up stress cards because they're stressed. So as a drill sergeant or a soldier, you have to leave them alone for 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
So
they can regroup mentally.
Right, but time out. When you're in the middle of what you're doing, you're talking about the military. You want to take a break? Like, yo, you're a soldier.
Yeah, right.
It's by any means necessary.
Yeah, toxic masculinity is shunned upon in our time because where it's a different day.
Yes. Why? Why because, is that bad?
We you have to give people time. It's soft, man. It's I don't know, but it's soft. But my boy ain't raised like that. Trust me. I take it back.
Yeah, Ramon, to me, it's exactly what you're saying. They don't have a killer instinct. And no. To me, and Anthony disagrees with me. I said all along, you can't flip a switch for intensity.
No.
And they didn't have it. They had intensity way back in.
It wasn't about intensity. It was about a plan.
Well, it's about intensity, too.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ramon.
This falls in line with the toxic. No, I appreciate all the input because you're spot on. Brent is toxic masculinity because he doesn't have an attack strategy. We're on the defense.
I think he does have an attack strategy, but he doesn't have the right personnel to run. I mean, he wants to run, shoot, run. But you, like you said, he's like a Euro team. He doesn't have the two Euros that can shoot. So if you don't have that, you have to change your strategy. It's what we used to kill Andy Reid about.
No,
you know, throw the well, you. You can't. You got to make your player. You got to use the players you have and get the most out of them.
Yeah, but
you can't shoehorn it.
This is different. This is different. And I disagree with you. This is not about. It wasn't about intensity.
It was
about having a plan, executing a plan.
Well, the plan was bad, but I don't think the players came up ready to play. I think that was apparent. And to my point, I don't think you can flip a switch of emotion in sports.
What are you talking about? It's the playoffs.
I know. That's why I'm saying you can't just flip the switch when you limp to the finish.
I don't think it's a switch. It's not a switch. I'll argue to the death about this.
I totally disagree with you. I don't think they can flip
the
switch.
That wasn't intensity. That was a lack of what you're doing.
See, I actually wasn't stunned by I thought they would win the game, but I wasn't stunned by the result because I thought it would take time for them to get back to a level of mentally ready to play meaningful basketball because they didn't do it in the last couple of weeks.
I don't know. Toronto lost to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is that a switch?
Probably, yeah.
It is probably
part of it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think the switch in sports is real.
Yeah, I think certain things, I guess. I don't know.
We'll discuss it.
I don't think that
too.
Was it, but we'll get into it. All right.
Midday show, Fanatic. Well, you're less than enthused.
I am aggravated. I am aggravated. Listen, redemption, though. We need to believe in redemption. So make sure you hit Parks Casino, the sports book, which I love the sports book at Parks Casino. They cater to the 4-for-4 fan. Parks Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Parks has it all. So you want the futures and the sharps and the... You're a casual guy and you want point spreads or your money line, whatever it is, they got it. The sports book is fabulous. We're there every Thursday, Cousins Corner. It's the best. Come on, hang out with us. You come see the whole Parks Casino is amazing. State of the art, everything. This place is outrageous. It is my sports book, my casino of choice. Make sure you go to Parks Casino. And if you can't make it to Parks, you can make it to the Oaks Race and Sports Book in Oaks, Pennsylvania, off of 422. And of course, you can make it to Packer Avenue in South Philly. Andrew Salchunas has been there many times. The South Philly Race and Sports Book, it's got it all. You're heading to the game tonight. Make a pit stop. Get your skin in the game. Just be careful. All right. But you go there, you have a great time. Trust me, all three tickets are good at any three locations. Parks Casino, bet with the best, the greatest. That's right. Right off the street road in Bensalem. Must be 21 gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Looked like he hadn't played for a while, yet was still dominant. Look at his numbers and look at the free throw attempts. But it was clear that, you know, the pace of the game, the speed of the game, types of stuff. You could see that he was tired.
Hi, I apologize to our callers on hold.
You're venting.
Yeah, I need you guys as much as you need me today, because I can't stop talking about it. I'm really on edge.
Yeah, yesterday, the buffer day did nothing for you. Didn't dull the sword at all.
No, it made it worse. You know why?
Because it festered.
It festered, and I watched Milwaukee go out and be a real team. All right?
It's funny. They belted Detroit.
It's funny, because I thought of all the games over the weekend, I even said it during one of our, I think it was one of our Parks reads, that Milwaukee's, that I like Milwaukee this week. You watch, they're going to go kill Detroit.
Yeah, make a statement.
And that's what they did.
Oh, yeah.
They went and beat them up. Where was that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Here's the problem. There's a couple problems here. One, they got no plan coming out. Two, Embiid, he's amazing, and he's an incredible talent. But what happens is he dominates the ball so much early that there's no structure or plan at all.
Yep. You're absolutely right. You see, and he's launching threes right away because he doesn't have his legs
away. Listen, he's an amazing talent, and great players are great players, but he's immature. He's immature as a basketball player.
And he needs a coach that's going to give him, for lack of a better term, it's going to give him structure.
Yeah, I mean, he's an immature. He's a great, great, great player. I mean, he could be the
skill set's
the
off
most
the charts.
Dominant force in the league, but he's immature as a basketball player.
Yeah, and structure doesn't put handcuffs on him.
No, it's not to mean.
Yeah.
Like, you need somebody who's going to be really tough for it. It's not about that. It's just about having him understand about the flow of the game a little bit. Because he just needs a curve. Now, part of it is they need to go through these growing pains to come out the other side. That's a real deal when we talk about going through these things. I would feel that way if it was Toronto. It's the Nets, and it's inexcusable. We talk about having a plan. Who plays day on the Nets?
No, I can't find anybody that can stop Simmons or Embiid in the low post.
I'm tired of hearing about Redick, and he is a defensive liability.
No team's got five stoppers.
So what? They have more defensive liabilities than you do, but it only gets highlighted if you're Brett and you come out with no plan.
Well, how much of it is also the guys on the floor not executing the proper offense at the right time? I mean, the dribble handoffs, that's got to be on Brett.
What's the whole thing's on Brett.
You got to get the ball. If Simmons isn't going to take the ball to the rim, he's got to get the ball to Butler.
Listen to me. Either he takes the ball to the rim or you get him in the low block. All right?
And keep him beat out high?
You can easily do that.
Interchangeable.
And by the way, there are times, because Embiid doesn't have his legs, and you don't want him posting up all that time to make him work extra hard, you have Simmons post up.
Who's got a limitless motor?
Who's guarding Simmons? Simmons post up. Who's guarding him?
Nobody.
Andrew?
Total mismatch no matter what.
Who's stopping Simmons from posting up?
Nobody. Not that fatso Jared Dudley.
Seriously. He can't. He's 6'11". And he's strong. And he can pass. Here's what he can't do. He can't shoot, right? So if you put him down low and you run the offense through him down low, so if Dudley, nobody can stop him. If they collapse on him, who do you want more passing out of the double team than him?
Yeah.
He's the best passer on the team.
Yeah, you got Tobias, you got Jimmy, you got a ton of options.
Why isn't that employed? Answer that, Tim. Answer. What, somebody out there.
Well, Brett, you heard the sound when we came back. Brett just talked about that Joel is, you know, he's a little out of shape, obviously, and the pace of the game. Moving Simmons down there to save him a little bit in the beginning of a game or throughout the game makes total sense, knowing that.
Tell me where you guys got. I want somebody to think about this from an X and O standpoint and tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where this thing is not the... If Simmons isn't going to drive to the basket, where you run from down low. You're getting the ball down low. Who's better?
Yeah, why doesn't that make sense?
First of all, nobody can guard him. Second of all, if they collapse on him, who do you want passing out of the double team? You don't want Joe passing out of the double team. Who do you want passing out of the double
team? Your best distributor.
That's who you want. instead of, and he did something. Oh, I wanted to scream. He's driving. It's they're making a little bit of a run. Do you guys remember this?
Fourth quarter.
They're making
early fourth quarter.
Late fourth quarter, like mid fourth quarter, before the game gets completely out of range. He's got the ball to turn over to miss. He's coming down the floor, and he's got a clear path. I mean, really, all he should do is stop and pop. It's like from 12 feet out. He doesn't do it, and it's a horrible turnover. He tries to pass the ball to Jimmy, and he turns the ball over. Do you remember that?
But he jumped in midair again. Right. What he always does.
Right, but. Why in the world? You got a full head of steam. Take the ball to the rim. Attack the rim. How in the world does he do that? And if I'm the coach, I don't know how many conversations I would have with him. Dude, sit down for a second. Who's stopping you down low? Like, I would get him so fired up that I'd have him going like a
freight train.
Yes.
To the rim.
Matt Trump.
Something else that really bothered me yesterday or Saturday. Of course, Brett Brown. How does Joel Embiid get Jared Allen in foul trouble? Two fouls within the first 3 minutes of the game.
Okay.
And then how does he finish with four fouls?
Okay.
They stopped attacking him.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
That's
example.
That's insane.
Perfect example.
Yep.
So go back to that. The Sixers had them in the penalty with what, 9 minutes to go in a quarter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why are they taking jump shots?
Thank you.
Why are you taking jump shots?
Especially when your team went 3 of 25 from the 3-point line.
You know why you're taking jump shots? Because the coach likes jump shots. The coach
analytics
loves his analytics and has to shoot threes. That's why.
You get free baskets.
Why. Instead of pushing the ball, again, it doesn't have to be with Embiid every time. You could do it with Simmons. And who cares if he goes 1 for 2 from the line? You're still racking up fouls.